Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, we're on air. This is Book Buzz with your host, me, Susanna Greenberg. And my guest today is Steve Atkinson from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's the author of a memoir describing his experiences during the Vietnam War. It's called In Liberating Strife, A Memoir of the Vietnam Years. It's in two volumes, Volume 1, The Track of a Storm, Volume 2, In Country. They'll be published simultaneously this fall, coming out soon. And welcome. How are you today, Steve?
I'm doing fine, Susanna, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you here. It's a very vivid and engaging memoir. We have Mike Tharp, a correspondent and bureau chief with the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and other important publications, has read the book and said that Steve Atkinson has performed a minor miracle with his memoir In Liberating Strife, A Memoir of the Vietnam Years. And obviously he enjoyed the book as well. So let's start with the basics. Tell us, what is the book about?
Well, Susanna, the heart of the narrative is my service with the U.S. Army in 1969 and 70, and especially the year I spent in Vietnam. But in order to give it more context, I actually begin the story during my senior year in high school, which was in late 1963. And the reason I did that is because I think the Kennedy assassination was a pivotal event leading up to what followed. And then my college years and eventually my time in the service follow after that. And in addition to personal experiences, I also describe contemporary international, national, and local Twin Cities events. By the Twin Cities, of course, I mean Minneapolis and St. Paul. And my goal in telling the story in that way was to try to provide the reader with an immersive experience of what it was like to live through that era, because to me those were times that were both deeply disturbing but also strangely exhilarating.
Yes. Well, I think these times are going to be on everyone's mind, especially in light of the forthcoming film by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick coming out this September, actually, on PBS, The Vietnam War, An Intimate History. So that's going to bring it back, not that it's ever gone away, but it's more present on the media, maybe for people who are too young to remember. So people will be watching that, and your book is a part of that history as well, your own personal testimony. Maybe you could talk a bit about, you know, what prompted you to write the book.
Well, I've always enjoyed writing. I studied English in college before I switched over to accounting. And, you know, let time goes by, family responsibilities, work responsibilities, and I didn't really have the time during my working years to devote to it that I would have chosen. I guess that was a choice I made. And also one of my few regrets about my relationship with my parents is that I know so little about the days of their courtship and the early years of their marriage. They were married in June of 1941, and then, of course, Pearl Harbor came later that year. Dad was serving in the Navy during World War II, and I miss having that history. And once I retired, I had the time to write up my own, and I'll have to admit I did feel a need to leave that legacy with our son, his family, and those coming after them. And then also one of my very favorite writers about the war in Vietnam, and a fellow Minnesotan and Vietnam vet, of course, that's Tim O'Brien. He's often commented on the importance of bearing witness to their experiences by those who have participated in our nation's conflicts. And I fully share that view because, to me at least, that is one of the most powerful ways of bringing home the true cost of war to those who did not participate. It's a difficult thing to communicate. I've always felt that the most fitting tribute of all that we can make to those who were killed and maimed in those conflicts is to do everything in our power to help prevent such sacrifices in the future, unless our nation is actually attacked by another power, as opposed to a small band of demented terrorists. There, of course, I'm alluding primarily to 9/11. And so the book is my small attempt to contribute to that effort. And in my own case, I considered making that attempt a moral obligation.
Mm-hmm. Those strong reasons and important reasons. Thank you. And was it hard for you to write your story, and what did you gain from it?
Well, Susanna, it actually turned out to be more difficult than I anticipated when I first sat down to write, because until I began reliving some of those experiences in my mind so that I could describe them on paper, I had not realized that after over 40 years, I'd still not completely processed some of the emotional baggage from those years. That was a disturbing discovery, but it was an enlightening one as well. And I think that I had felt guilty about facing up to the fact that I had not processed all of my own experiences, because there were so many soldiers in Vietnam that experienced things much more terrible than anything I ever encountered or even capable of imagining. And so their plight is often on my mind. And I think there was a sense of unworthiness when I compared my own experiences. But as I thought and wrote, I slowly came to learn that I had no need to feel guilt over my need to work through my own problems related to my military experience. And the book served that purpose, certainly. So as well as giving me the satisfaction of leaving a legacy, writing the book proved to be an unexpectedly cathartic process.
Mm-hmm. That's an important process. Would you encourage others to write their memoirs?
Yes, definitely. And I think that what worked for me would work for most other folks as well, whether or not they intend to publish. And, you know, Vietnam vets have always been more willing to share our stories than those of our other wars. But, of course, now we have a more acute awareness that the clock is running out. I'm 70 years old myself. And I believe it's time to preserve even more of this vital history while we're still around to do that. And here I'm talking about both veterans and civilians on the home front. I think sometimes the contribution of the civilians on the home front are forgotten, whether they were involved in the anti-war movement or however they participated or were affected by those times. Now, I know that you mentioned Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's upcoming 18-hour documentary on PBS, and I'm sure that will be a major event along those lines, because we're all familiar with the quality of Ken Burns' work and the fact that he actually experienced those years personally by living through them. I'm sure that this will be an exceptional project. And now here at home, Minnesota PBS has created a companion project entitled Minnesota Remembers Vietnam. I participated in that myself by submitting a brief account of my own military experience in Vietnam. And the three key words defining the goals of the Minnesota Project are remember, honor, and understand. And respect for the experiences and opinions of others is key there. And the words argue and judge do not enter into it, at least for the purposes of this project. And, you know, after all these years, I hope that that aspiration can be a reality.
Good keywords. I did look at the project, and your entry there is wonderful, as well as your book. And I'm so grateful that you've preserved some of this history for all of us. It's great reading, and your entry on the wall is fascinating as well. Everyone should look at that. Tell me, what do you hope readers will enjoy most or take away from the experience of reading your book?
Well, above all, and, you know, I've talked to so many veterans of both my dad's generation and my own that share this aspiration, and I would hope that it would encourage readers to contemplate the true cost of war and what we can do to prevent it in the future. But I also hope that it might lead them to consider the other divisive issues of the Vietnam years, such as the fight for justice and equality for ethnic minorities and women. And one of the reasons I hope that it might get people thinking along those lines is because I believe there's a good deal of unfinished work to be done there. And I encourage younger Americans to take up the fight by working within the system, or if that fails, by making noise and raising some hell like we did during the anti-war days. Now, I know that sounds a little bit preachy, so I'll get off my soapbox and say that, last of all, I hope that the readers feel they have experienced a rather different but intriguing variety of war story, and also a real from the heart love story as well.
Not at all preachy. Important message and a personal story to back it up. You know, that's your experience, and you always, when you share of yourself, people learn. And I'm sure every reader will benefit from having this direct story from you. So that's terrific that you have this memoir. But we have just a few minutes left. I'm wondering if you would read a passage or two. Again, we're talking to Steve Atkinson, and he is the author of In Liberating Strife, A Memoir of the Vietnam Years, which will be published in two volumes this fall, coming soon. Could you read us a little bit in the time remaining, Steve? That would give our listeners a taste.
Oh, I'd be glad to, Susanna. This particular passage describes Christmas in 1969, where I was at a place called Lai Khe in Vietnam, which at that time was the headquarters of the 1st Infantry Division. And so I'll just go into it. Christmas dinner at the mess hall was a welcome duplicate of the memorable Thanksgiving feast, complete with menus again. Cardinal Cook, bearer of the impressive title Military Vicar of the Armed Forces of the United States, celebrated Mass at Lai Khe at 3 p.m. I very rarely attended in those days, but it seemed like the thing to do on the holy day, and I had never seen a cardinal before. During his homily, he quoted Pope Paul on the occasion of his visit to New York the previous year, "Peace is the child of love." It struck me as both appropriate and ironic that the observation echoed the ethos of the counterculture and could just as easily have been uttered by the Beatles, Joan Baez, or Bob Dylan. The joy of Christmas is invariably tempered by contemplation of the wide gulf between the tidings heralding the birth of the Prince of Peace and the reality of the tragic state of world affairs due to humanity's failure to live in accordance with the message he was later to preach. But at no time is the poignancy of that contrast experienced more keenly than in the midst of war. The pain of separation is not the only reason that soldiers and their families shed tears on Christmas. There's often also an overwhelming sense of despair over mankind's utter failure to put the ideals of the season of peace into practice, mitigated and rendered bearable by the Yuletide message of love and hope that just maybe we can do a bit better next year. But for the present, as I gazed around me at the hardened faces of men in combat units, singing hymns and making their way slowly up the aisles to receive communion during the Christmas Mass, I was grateful for the strong possibility that I would return from Vietnam with my mind and body intact, and my fondest hope was to be home with Bev and my family for Christmas 1970. That's it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Again, I think we will wrap with that. I want to thank you so much for being here. And again, we've been speaking with Steve Atkinson, who has authored a memoir of his years in Vietnam, and it's called In Liberating Strife, A Memoir of Vietnam Years. Of course, that's a quote from America the Beautiful, O Beautiful for Heroes, Proved in Liberating Strife. And thank you again, Steve, and I urge all listeners to read his book when it comes out this fall, In Liberating Strife, A Memoir of the Vietnam Years. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you, Susanna. I enjoyed our conversation.
Okay, take care, and until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thank you.